Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I will concede at the very beginning of the program that what I'm about to say probably doesn't matter all that much. I did have an emotional reaction to this, but ultimately it's not that big of a deal. I'll certainly grant you that, but we're also a Friday on Dog Nation Daily. We're all about having fun. So we're going to have some fun for the next couple of minutes at ESPN's expense because I love preseason content. I love preseason previews. I especially love the subgenre of spring previews because they are to themselves kind of their own little cottage industry of content. ESPN.com, the other websites do this kind of stuff. We're around here getting really excited about Georgia spring practice. Dogs get going a little later than a lot of the other teams around the SEC because this year the Georgia spring game G-Day happens to be a good bit later than the others. They're always going to be, you know, considering the Masters and things like that when it comes to this kind of scheduling. Georgia's G-Day won't be until April 20, so Georgia's going to start spring a little later than some of the other programs do. But I like getting excited about the spring. I like getting excited about Georgia spring practice, obviously. I even like getting excited about the other SEC teams, too, because after all, Georgia plays these teams, and always kind of fun to know and interesting to know what's going on the other campuses. So with that in mind, ESPN wrote a piece that's kind of right up my alley, ESPN.com. The headline says, "Spring Ball's True Freshman You Need to Know." Now, when you scroll through here, you see a lot of names, some of these even SEC names. Antonio Alfano from Alabama gets mentioned. Derek Stingley from LSU gets mentioned. Our old friend Jaden Hazelwood now in Oklahoma, he gets mentioned. Baylor Cup, the defensive tackle for Texas A&M, guy that Georgia could see in November, he gets mentioned. Bo Nix, the incoming freshman quarterback at Auburn, gets mentioned. You kind of roll through the list here, and you see a lot of interesting names. But what I can't help but notice is completely missing from this list is any Georgia name whatsoever. No single incoming freshman to UGA from their crop of early enrollees makes the list of spring ball freshmen that we're excited to see from ESPN and the writer of the piece, which is our buddy Tom Van Haren. No Georgia guy on the list whatsoever. Now, let me reiterate what I said a moment ago. I'm not mad about this. It's not worth getting mad about. This is not the kind of thing to be, you know, biased against Georgia or anything like that. That's not my point. My point is, it does seem like a fairly egregious error not to include a Georgia guy in this group of spring ball true freshmen we're looking forward to see. And as a way of kind of chronicling this, I did my part to try to list just some of the incoming freshmen for Georgia who'll get a chance to go through spring practice as early enrollees. Now let me rattle off this list. If you're watching on video, I'll show you some of these. Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, both five stars. Clay Webb, the five star, one of the top players in the state of Alabama. A couple four-star linebackers, Ryan Trouble Davis, Tresman Marshall. In the case of Marshall, he's dealt with a little bit of an injury situation, but nonetheless. Jermaine Johnson, more on him in a moment. The tight end, Ryland Goady, also a little bit of an injury situation with him, but still one of these incoming freshmen early enrollees. You get the quarterback, Dwan Mathis, who Georgia swooped in to get right there in December. Kind of an exciting recruitment. He'll be here, as well as his counterpart at quarterback, Stetson Bennett. You got DJ Daniel as well. And the honest truth is, given my propensity for clerical errors, I think I've even missed a couple. Lewis Seen's an early enrollee, right? Tramell Walthor's an early enrollee. So, I mean, I should have added their names to this list as well. It is an August body, in other words, of incoming freshmen. You would think that one of those guys, Smith, N'Kobe Dean, at least any of these five stars, you think they may have granted some sort of, the ability to be on this ESPN list of spring guys that we're looking forward to. But apparently for ESPN, that's not the case. But I can promise you this, for Georgia fans, that is indeed the case. There's plenty of reason to be excited about what all of those guys could do this upcoming spring. But maybe the most interesting omission from this particular ESPN story is a name that got highlighted on a different ESPN story in terms of freshmen to watch. It's almost like the ESPN folks aren't exactly on the same page in terms of what they are paying attention to this spring, because while Tom Van Haren omits the entire list of ESPN guys from what he's talking about, Chris Lowe over at ESPN.com did highlight Jermaine Johnson, one of the aforementioned guys, on another kind of one of these spring preview pieces. And what Lowe writes about Jermaine Johnson is that the 6'6", 245-pounder was one of the most coveted junior college prospects in the country last year and has been on campus since December. He doesn't need much of an introduction, as most fans know him from A Last Chance U, which is the Netflix series. Lowe goes on to say, the bottom line is, he can go get the quarterback, something the Dogs need after finishing last in the SEC in sacks during the 2018 regular season. So I'm obviously, as you probably guess, a lot more in line to agree with Chris Lowe on this than I am the other ESPN writer, that I do think that Jermaine Johnson is definitely something worth paying attention to. And I think that a lot of these early enrollees for Georgia are going to turn some heads in various ways during the spring. Now, when it comes to some of the defensive stuff, you don't necessarily get to see that on G-Day because, let's face it, you know, spring football games are designed as scrimmages to glorify the offense, and Jermaine Johnson's not exactly going to be allowed to tackle Jake Fromm to the ground or any other Georgia quarterback during that game. But I do think that Lowe is correct in pointing out what Johnson might be. And when you think about fast-forwarding to the fall and what's really going to happen in the real college football Saturdays coming up September, October, November, the infusion of these young guys in the Georgia pass rush, I do think, is going to really matter. And when you look at spots where newcomers, incoming freshmen, or in Johnson's case, a junior college transfer, when you look for these guys that could make big impacts on the field this season, I think that spot's a place that you pay really close attention to that. We've actually talked about that a couple of times already this week on DogNation.com. But more important than what I think on this is also what Georgia coach Kirby Smart thinks about this. Because if you want to go back to December, it sounds like he very much agrees with Chris Lowe that impact freshman guys going through spring practice for the first time coming up in just a couple of weeks. Kirby thinks that Jermaine Johnson, along with his partner in crime there at that pass rush spot, Nolan Smith, are just as good a names as any to consider for a role like that. Here is Kirby.
We certainly feel like we dropped off in our speed on the edge from the Lorenzos and Davins and Leonard Floyds of the years to be able to get Jermaine and Nolan. You know, I don't know that there's two better pass rushers in a signing class anywhere in the country when it comes to speed. Jermaine can run. Nolan can run. And these guys have got to help us disrupt quarterbacks, you know, which we struggle with this year.
So let me reiterate what I said off the top of the program. I think that's good stuff from Kirby Smart there. They want to be better with the pass rush. Johnson and Smith give Georgia a chance to do that. Those are two of the newcomers that will be going through spring practice for the first time here coming up in a couple of weeks. But let me just go back to the beginning to say, for the most part, I'm just kind of having fun at ESPN's expense on this. I don't think it's a big deal. They didn't put any Georgia freshmen on their particular list here. I think it's just kind of a fun thing to debate and kick around. But there is probably a more serious take to pull out of all of this, and I think in a roundabout way, it's actually good news for Georgia. If you compare preseason 2019 to preseason 2018 and preseason 2017, to a certain extent even preseason 2016, if you compare this year's offseason going into spring practice to the previous ones, I think we would sit here doing a show like this, having the kinds of conversations that we have every single day, and I think we'd be really hoping. Hopefully so-and-so freshman is good, otherwise Georgia won't be. Hopefully so-and-so freshman makes a big impact, otherwise Georgia's in a real problem. Georgia's in a real mess. Georgia has had a roster situation the last couple of years, even with as successfully as Kirby Smart has recruited, it's been a roster situation where Georgia was in desperate need of newcomers to make an impact, otherwise the overall depth chart was just going to be a little bit too thin. In 2019, that's not quite the case so much anymore. In 2019, the freshmen that are coming in, including the early enrollees, who are going to be going through spring practice for the first time, these are more luxury items than they are necessities. I do believe that Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson, the two players that ESPN ignored, at least in this one piece, but the two players that Kirby Smart touted, I think they can add a lot to the Georgia pass rush. And to the tune of winning a national championship, that's going to be really important. But even if Nolan and Jermaine don't have big years, don't step up in the way that many of us expect, there's still Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox, guys already on the roster that can potentially do some of those things as well. This is the deepest Georgia roster we've seen in quite some time. A lot of these incoming freshmen could be major impact players for it, but they don't necessarily have to be. Either way, I think it's safe to say that UGA fans are more excited about these guys during spring practice than apparently ESPN is. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, with the radio at noon as well, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever you find podcasts, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad to have you part of our program today. We're also fully loaded. It's Jeff Sintel coming up in just a couple of minutes, and then later on today, we'll welcome back for the first time in a while the great former Georgia quarterback David Green. Fun conversation coming up with him. Of course, David and I are both big fans of tailgate apparel. The apparel store right there in downtown Athens, 279 East Broad Street in Athens. And if you're watching on video, one of the things that you'll notice is that I'm wearing this really cool tailgate apparel sweatshirt. And a lot of times people ask me, you know, BA, where do you get the stuff that you wear on the show every single day? Because I am, you know, a fan of the Georgia gear. I like wearing that. I like showing it off on our video. Well, today we want to make this really easy for you. If you go to the Dog Nation Instagram page, it's just at Dog Nation on Instagram, you can see a link to this very sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now from our friends at Tailgate Apparel. I'll talk more about that with David Green when he joins us in a little bit. But please check out Dog Nation on Instagram. First of all, you ought to be following Dog Nation on Instagram as it is. But check out the link to this sweatshirt on the Instagram feed for Dog Nation. And you can either for yourself or for somebody else, especially for it's putting in kind of these late final winter cold days, these Tailgate Apparel sweatshirts feel really, really good. They're soft and fleecy, and they just kind of keep you warm. And they get some other cool stuff as well. You can browse around when you find it. So see the link for that on the Dog Nation Instagram page right now. All right. Oh, we'll have Jeff Sintel in a moment. Before we get to that, I wanted to highlight a couple of the things that Jeff and I have been talking about as of late. And if you were watching Before the Hedges on Wednesday, presented by Kroger, you saw a great conversation regarding a couple of elite recruits that Jeff has spoken to in the last few days. And I wanted to make sure that we highlighted some of that on Dog Nation Daily before Jeff joins us, because I'm going to ask him about some of this in a moment. Let me start with five-star linebacker Mecale Sherman. Sherman was on campus for Georgia this past weekend, a part of a flurry of big-time visits for the Dogs. And one of the things that Jeff pointed out on Before the Hedges on Wednesday was that while Sherman was at Georgia and it seems like he and the Dogs are becoming fast friends, as Jeff points out, the truth is the relationship with Sherman and UGA has been strong for quite some time. Even going back to last summer, a conversation that Jeff Sintel had then is evidence that this very impressive linebacker has seen a lot that he's liked about Georgia for quite some time. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, it's out of one of my schools. They really showed genuine love.
I really have.
And they really, you know, a lot of schools want to tell you what you want to hear. They told me all the goods and bads about Georgia, but it was, you know, the good always outweighed the bad.
So I love the idea that he says one of the things that I like about Georgia the most is the honesty they've shown with me, the fact that they have told me how I fit into their plans, the good and the bad. As I've explained before, presumably the good is you have a chance to be a part of a great program. The bad, there is a lot of intense competition at linebacker right now, as evidenced by some of the early enrollees that we spoke about a moment ago. But in the case of Mecale Sherman, he sees a lot to like about Georgia, and with Jeff over the course of the last few months, even went into more detail about exactly what that is.
I feel really good about Georgia and Coach Dan Lanning. I really mess with the coaching staff as a whole. Nick Williams, Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, everybody. Because when I went down there, it was a really great, warm welcome, to be honest.
Yeah, so listen, I love the idea that Georgia seems to be making such an impact on Sherman. Sherman's another one of these guys from that Beltway region, you know, the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area. That's fertile recruiting soil for all the elite programs this year, Georgia included. It sounds like Georgia's making a big impact on Sherman, and that could have some reverberations with some of the other guys in that region as well. That's going to be a fun story to watch from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. I was going to hear some more from Sherman. If you don't mind, though, let me transition and talk about a different name here for a moment, because it's another interesting guy. That's Mitchell Mays, a really impressive-looking four-star offensive lineman from North Carolina. Another one of these guys that, much like Sherman, has been impacted by guys like Dan Lanning and others. Sherman is also, as you might guess, really been strongly, Mays has been really strongly impacted by Georgia offensive line coach Sam Pittman. This is a guy that Jeff Sintel has written about at DogNation.com recently, and when you hear some of Jeff's conversation with Mays, you get the impression that that magic that Pittman has in the recruiting trail continues to work. Here is more with Mitchell Mays.
My best parts were building a better relationship with Coach Pittman and being able to connect with a current player, Demarius Taylor, and those are my best parts for me.
I love the idea.
Does Georgia have a chance to get into your visit group for your official visits, I guess, a little bit, or how do they position themselves this weekend?
Oh, Georgia positioned themselves very well. They treated me as a priority to their offensive line, and I felt good about it.
Yeah, listen, first of all, I interrupt Jeff all the time. I guess it's appropriate that I also interrupt him on that clip. I think I interrupted him on the same clip when we played it on Before the Hedges on Wednesday. Either way, you love the idea that Jamari Salyer is one of those offensive linemen who's been tasked with impressing a guy like Mitchell Mays. I just think that's really good stuff. Mays went on in some other comments. We're not going to have time to play those. It doesn't look like. We're kind of running a little short on time here. Mays went on to talk about how Georgia kind of sees him as a combo offensive lineman, a guy that can play guard or tackle, and he's kind of okay with either one of those spots. I would invite you to check out Before the Hedges on Wednesday, where we heard a lot more from Mays. There is a lot to like about this young man, and coming up with Jeff Sintel in a moment, we will talk more about how he fits into those 2020 plans for Georgia, the offensive line, with some of the other names that George is talking about. So that's coming up with Jeff Sintel in a moment. Before that, though, here on this Friday, we'd like to kick off the weekend with our Kroger kickoff to give you an idea of some of the stuff happening around UGA athletics this weekend, and to also remind you about some really fun things coming up at your local Atlanta Kroger as well. This Friday, no different than any other, very busy for UGA on the athletic front. First of all, the men's basketball regular season finale at South Carolina is on Saturday. The SEC tournament for the men begins next week. Lady Dogs did drop a game in the SEC tournament last night, effectively ending their season. Sounds like no more postseason to come for them. Gym Dogs tonight at an event in Birmingham called Elevate the Stage. This is one of those multi-program events that you see in gymnastics from time to time, so that's where the Gym Dogs are tonight. Diamond Dogs hosting Presbyterian through the weekend. Pay attention to the weather on that. I know there's going to be some tricky stuff around the weekend when it comes to that, but Diamond Dogs hosting the Blue Hose this weekend. Softball team hosting a number of teams, including Bowling Green tonight. So it's busy when it comes to everything going on with the world of UGA athletics this weekend. That's all part of our Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily each and every Friday. And Kroger's got you covered coming up for St. Patrick's Day as well, with savings on corned beef brisket, cabbage, and tomatoes to make the perfect St. Patrick's Day dinner. For a great recipe, here's a website for you to go to, Kroger.com/whatsfordinner. That's Kroger.com/whatsfordinner, and you can get ready for truly authentic St. Patrick's Day dinner coming up really soon. All right, it's really fun to have you on Dog Nation Daily today. As we said, we'll do David Green, the great former Georgia quarterback, coming up in just a moment. For now, though, on more on Sherman and Mays, who we just talked about, and everything else going on with UGA recruiting, let's welcome in our buddy Jeff Sintel.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let's say hello to Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. Great to have him as a part of the program on the Friday. And Jeff, I hope you're doing well on this particular day. And I guess if you don't mind, now we'll do more of this on Tuesday as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All when you're back with us on the program. But let me gloat a little bit, Jeff, here at the beginning of our conversation, because at last check on your Twitter feed at Jeff Sintel, when you put out the survey of who is it flambé? Is that what you do to a creme brulee when you blast that fire on top of it? We both did that at a local Marlowe's Tavern this past week, and you put out there who did it better. So far, the voting is favoring me on that. So can I gloat about this for a minute before we move on?
This is the order of Dog Nation, man. It's like you, my friend Brandon Adams, you're kind of like the glory boy, golden boy quarterback, and I'm the simple offensive lineman clearing holes for you. We got to make sure you look good. And I guess the verb, I guess I'm going to call it, that's how you brulee a cream brulee, I guess. I don't know. It sounds interesting to me. And, hey, most of the feedback we got, most of the intel on that was Jeff went too hard in the paint with the blowtorch while Brandon finessed his way around a nice-looking brulee.
Yeah, that's about right. We'll show you more of that on Tuesday on Dog Nation Day. That's going to be a lot of fun to do there. We had a great time with our friends there at the Brookhaven location of Marlowe's this past week. A great time. They were always such gracious hosts to us. Jeff, let me bring you in on, before we get into the more serious recruiting stuff, let me bring you in on something I was talking about before you joined us a couple of minutes ago. I was kind of having some fun because ESPN put out its list of freshmen they're paying close attention to this spring, and despite the fact that Georgia was essentially number two and in the consensus recruiting rankings, even number one according to one outlet and service, none of the Georgia incoming freshman early enrollees made the ESPN list. Now, I said before, it's not a big deal, but I'm still going to kind of chide ESPN for omitting the Georgia guys on this. So I tried to correct the record about this a moment ago, and I'll give you the floor to do the same thing. If I ask you, of the early enrollees coming into Georgia, both in terms of what you think you might see from them this spring, hear from Kirby Smart on their behalf, or fast-forwarding to the fall and what these guys might do on a field later on this season, which early enrollee or two or however many you want to mention, who kind of pops to mind, top of mind for you in terms of what you're expecting to see this spring?
We didn't rehearse this, Brandon, or even set me up on this. Like, I guess folks don't even know. We don't script anything on our calls. But I can very readily say I have two divisions here. Number one is not just the freshman, but the early enrollee in general. That would be DJ Daniel and Jermaine Johnson. I would say those guys are 1A and 1B in terms of out of the entire group making the biggest impact. But then if we reserve it simply for the 2019 true freshman, I think my first name might be N'Kobe Dean, the inside linebacker, followed by Tyreek Stevenson, the do-it-all defensive back. Lewis seems kind of in there a little bit, but there's a lot of depth for him to get through in order to get some real playing time. I would say those, even though there's the gentleman named Nolan Smith lurking there as well, I just think there's more dudes for him to have to climb over in the class in order to get some real playing time.
Let me follow up on two of the names that you just mentioned real briefly. Daniel and Dean, I'll try to do these kind of separately here for a moment. Let me start with Daniel. Is the thought on Daniel, much like it is Johnson, the fact that he's a little older, kind of been around the block a little bit more, Georgia unique to even take a junior college defensive back? They presumably wouldn't take Daniel unless they thought he had a chance to play right away. Is that kind of your thinking on why you would include him as quickly in a list as you did?
Well, I'm going to check a lot of boxes with Daniel really fast. Number one, he's older. You're talking about a 19, 20-year-old kid rather than a high school kid out of high school. He's also just looks the part, man. He's about 5. He's about 6 feet. He's about 195, 190, really good. Really fast. He checks off all the physical measures as well. He's the type of guy, having played 2 years already of junior college ball, having been thrown into the fire as a true freshman in junior college ball as well. I don't think Georgia recruits a guy like that unless they think he can start. And then a guy like DeAndre Baker is opening up a spot in the secondary as well. I think all those things combined with the early enrollment, the kid is really, really fast. He's really good at his position. I think that's probably the big sell there for Daniel. And then the thing with Jermaine Johnson, if you want to put a list of names together, Brandon, because this is kind of the listicle season, I guess, for doing that, the most likely Bulldogs to jump, we'll know really lot of good stuff about Jermaine Johnson, about jumping to the NFL. The most likely Bulldogs to be, this might be their last season in Athens, I don't know if Jermaine Johnson might not crack that list by the time September, October rolls around, because 6'6", 250, I mean, he looks the part of a jaw-dropping NFL physical specimen already. He's another guy, very mature body, very athletic guy. I think all those traits will help you play early at Georgia, even on this stacked roster.
So let me follow up on the Dean thing you mentioned a moment ago, N'Kobe Dean, and obviously I like N'Kobe Dean a lot too, but just for the purposes of conversation, let me play devil's advocate for a moment. Because while the departure of DeAndre Baker opens the door for someone to step in at defensive back, that gives DJ Daniel a chance to do that, you can make a case that the competition at inside linebacker right now is very deep. Monty Rice is a veteran who's played a good bit. Guys like Channing Tindall, presumably even Quay Walker, are ready to step into expanded role. They've been on campus for a full year now. Isn't it pretty crowded for N'Kobe Dean to make too much hay as an inside linebacker?
Nope. I wouldn't say it all. I think N'Kobe Dean's the guy that's going to take some dude's job if they slip, if they don't get better. Because I know N'Kobe Dean, I have little doubt in my mind that N'Kobe Dean will handle all of the mental aspects of his position. To me, it's more of just basically the physical fit and dealing with the grind of college football a little bit. Now, listen, Brandon, I wish you could have been there. And when we get around to trotting out our next generation stories on all these guys, later this year, early spring, maybe after spring, we'll really be able to tell those. But N'Kobe Dean, I'm going to take you back to Montgomery, Alabama. This is in mid-December when he is in the throes of making that decision. And N'Kobe Dean is basically there for day one, day two of practice, going through installs. And he is driving the Mississippi offense crazy because he already understands their offense within a day and a half. John Rice Plumlee would tell me these stories about how in the world is the inside linebacker making a play or getting in my face on a screen, especially from the wheel linebacker spot. And it's because N'Kobe is sitting there. He knows what he's supposed to be doing. There's a lot of Jake Fromm elements to his story a little bit for this position. He knows what he's supposed to be doing, but then he's looking and he's watching a tight end. He's watching a running back. He's watching the stance and the knuckles of the offensive lineman. And he is diagnosing the play pre-snap. And he's able to get in guys' faces. I think he made three interceptions during one 7-on-7 practice period. And, folks, the Kobe Dean's forte is Georgia will not be making interceptions. But what he does there and the way he plays the game, and then he combined that with all the physical elements, about six feet tall, 220 pounds, rock solid, strong in the weight room already, tireless worker, wants to get better every day. And Brandon, I successfully went through an entire 36-second depiction of N'Kobe Dean without naming the middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do. But obviously when it comes to that position, even if we don't say Roquan Smith's name out loud, he's the one that's on all of our minds, just given the success in 2017 and that desire from a Georgia fan's perspective to see another Roquan emerge at that position. It sounds like whether we want to give that kind of hype to Dean or not, it sounds like he's going to have some of those expectations when he gets on the field for Georgia. Let me transition to the other side of the ball for a moment. You wrote again this week about the four-star quarterback commit, Carson Beck, and this comes after he speaks to a local television station down there in Jacksonville. Now, Jeff, you know me, and you know I can't help myself when it comes to even the hint that Beck may have used Florida to gain more favor with Georgia and get that coveted UGA offer that apparently he really wanted. Obviously, I love that, and I love poking at Florida on that subject. But beyond just that part of it and the fun theatrics for someone like me, getting a chance to hear an extended conversation with Beck, and I know you'll have your own discussions with him coming up in the weeks and months ahead, but getting a chance to hear more of his own thoughts about how his recruitment has played out up to this point, what do you make of where things are right now, and what do you make of him putting this into his own words?
Well, first of all, I got a redirect question for you, Brandon, because I do consider you to be an authority on the college football fan's mind and that psychosis is maybe that go along with that. Is it possible to be a dream school for Georgia and Florida? Is that possible unless your mom or dad moves with a radical move somewhere in your upbringing? Is that really possible in your mind?
Listen, I won't presume to know what's in the hearts and minds of these young people. This young crowd's different. You know, they see these you know, games on Saturday every single Sunday, and they fall they fall in love with different teams from week to week. And I see this with my own son, who's 7. It's like every week he's talking about some other new team and some other new sport. So I would say that the fandom of the younger generation is a little more fickle than it was for you and me when we were back in that same age. So, you know, who am I to judge if he wants to say he likes both Georgia and Florida? Who am I to judge, Jeff?
So, you know, quick
I will say there's
there
a chance that my answer to that question is a little different given the fact that he's committed to Georgia than it would be if he was committed to Florida. I'll just say it that way.
Goodness gracious. What if young Adams in the Adams household grows up to be a Florida fan? I don't know. Would that be possible, Brandon? That would be like some soap opera style irony. If your son, of all young men growing up in the state of Georgia, ends up being a Florida fan, maybe because he sees that new documentary with Tim Tebow and he's just enthralled. But
hold on. I got to respond to that. My young son, even at a tender age, is smart enough to know that if he wants to sleep indoors, there's going to be no talking about the lousy, stinking Gators in our household.
I have some experience in this because I've worked in Alabama for about 8 years, and I was around friends and neighbors who, in some situations, the extreme passion for the Tide turned the offspring into Tigers or vice versa. So it's very interesting that situation where we would have the young man sleeping outdoors, man. That's how it would roll in the Adams household, right?
Yeah, listen, I tolerate a lot of you know, sports, I guess, polygamy, kind of wandering around and you know, cheering for different teams. But that's the one thing in my household we are going to draw the line on.
Very well.
That's the one thing where I'm going to do the old school dad thing of my house, my rules. That's the one thing that we're going to draw that line on, at least when it comes to sports.
So Brandon's going to go, you sleep under my roof, you eat my groceries, you come to the dinner table. You're going to go Jeff's creme brulee on the young man if he starts thinking about Florida in that way, huh?
That's exactly right, because if Florida starts beating Georgia too much, we're going to have to move into a smaller house.
funny.
All right, let me finish your thoughts on Beck, because I do want to hear what you had to say about that.
Yeah, some things about Beck. People will find it strange to get their arms around it, but A, he was initially committed to Florida to play baseball. He's given up baseball. He's going to be at G-Day. That's what I've heard, pretty good accord on that one. And he's already started to kind of work for the class. I think, you know, the Darnell Washington thing was early, but now he's reaching out to a lot more guys. trying to be that Pied Piper type that I guess all quarterbacks have to be. So that's very interesting. The other things with Beck is, like, he's mostly, you know, he plays 7-on-7 down there in Florida. That's something to track with a specific team. But he's already done his Under Armour camp. He's already done his opening camp. He's going to go out to the Elite 11 and the Nike opening out in Texas. You know, so maybe some of those appearances for Carson Beck might be at a spring practice for the Bulldogs. It will definitely be at G-Day for the Bulldogs. So, you know, there's so many similarities there. Now you can also say, like our man behind the glass, Connor Riley, outlined earlier this week, now we can both say true dream school guys with Georgia. They both played baseball. They both committed to Georgia on March the 3rd. They're both seen as that thinking man, cerebral quarterback for the Bulldogs and everything else. So that's the type of guy already that's going to endear himself to a lot of Georgia fans, because Carson Beck, he's a really big talent, guys. For those that want to feel proud and to tout the future of the Georgia quarterback room, dropping Carson Beck back into the mix at Georgia will definitely move the dial for all those future ESPN quarterback room future power ratings, because Georgia, again, is absolutely loaded at quarterback when Carson Beck joins the fold.
So let me change the subject here for a moment. I love your piece of Dog Nation this week with Dwight McLaughlin, and I couldn't help but laugh in reading it because, listen, I like following the tea leaves and stuff like this. He goes to a school, Trinity in Texas, that Georgia's done some pretty good work in over the last couple of years, both in terms of Lewisine, who just signed, and maybe laying some foundation with some other players in that program. He's related to Maurice Smith, Georgia's MVP on the defensive side of the ball going back to 2016. I mean, it seems like Georgia gets some ready-made connections when it comes to McLaughlin, does it not?
Yeah, it does, and that's one of those situations where I thought his interview – and this is kind of what I try to do, because everybody sometimes is like, hey, Jeff, write a little bit less. You write too much. How can you write too much about that kid? Why don't you break it up into multiple posts? But, you know, within that post on McLaughlin, you can kind of see threads where McLaughlin gave a pretty good read into the mind of Lewisine already. I also thought it was fascinating. It was one of those sections I couldn't just chop out for length, because he gave some really strong insight into the Georgia mindset right now. And the term, I know Brandon's got to get used to it, the term natty is very much a thing. It is a goal around that campus in Athens. The boys talk natty, the boys work for natties, and everyone has a clear purpose about winning a national title. That's the directive. Get on that train. If not, you're kind of lost on the orbit bus around North Campus. And with everything with McLaughlin, he loves that. He's a confident guy. Already compares Georgia to Bama. He sees Georgia and Bama in similar pole positions in college football. And without winning those big games everybody wants to win, it is another example. Here's a kid from Texas, a well-connected, high-profile recruit that thinks Georgia is definitely at the big table of college football right now.
So when we close out our conversation in a minute, I'm going to ask you about something completely off the radar of what we would normally discuss. But one more thing, kind of very much in the radar we typically discuss. You've had some good stuff the last few days, whether it be a written piece about Mitchell Mays, the four-star offensive lineman from North Carolina. We highlighted him on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger this past Wednesday. John Young, another very interesting name, kind of in that offensive line conversation. I was hoping you might take Young and Mays and, you know, guys already in the fold like Broderick Jones. Would you mind just kind of setting the table for what 2020 offensive line recruiting for Georgia is going to kind of look like? I know you've really rung the bell a lot about Georgia's needed offensive tackle, but with the names that we've recently been seeing profiled at Dog Nation and what's already in the fold, just kind of give us a little brief thumbnail of 2020 offensive line recruiting for a moment.
Yeah, so one name you're not going to hear about a lot is Andrew Rain, nation's number three guard out of Oklahoma, Under Armour All-American. Oklahoma's supposed to be the school for him, but right now, that Sam Pittman connection is trending really hard for him. He's going to keep Georgia among his officials. He just has great interaction there for him. That's a name that doesn't pop up a lot in a lot of reporting. We spoke to him at the Future 50, and it seems like Georgia's going to be in that thing as well. Mitchell Mays is a guy Georgia sees as a Swiss Army knife across the offensive line. Can play every one of the positions, can even snap. His best spots there would go tackle first, then guard, then center. And the same thing goes for John Young. These are the interchangeable pieces that Georgia's trying to find. Really what they want to find is they want to get that dominant left tackle. Broderick Jones, folks, is that guy. Broderick Jones, folks, him going into Georgia, I feel as confident about him doing amazing things at Georgia. And everybody says, hey, Jeff, you use the word amazing too much. Broderick Jones is going to make a name for himself at Georgia. I'm as high on him as maybe only maybe a handful of guys that Georgia has gotten committed and signed heading into the program over the last 3 or 4 years. What they want to find after that is another tackle, and then maybe two more guys that can do a lot of things. I'm going to call those the Cade Mazers. Cade Mazers is the guy that can stabilize the line and play very well at multiple positions, can play at a high all-SEC level at multiple positions, especially by their sophomore and junior season. Mitchell Mays is one of those guys. John Young is one of those guys. Broderick Jones, folks, is really, you know, everybody uses the term next Roquan Smith a little bit too much. You're looking for the next starting offensive tackle at the University of Georgia, kind of in that Andrew Thomas mold. Broderick Jones is that guy. So I think Georgia takes about four offensive linemen in this class. Looks like they've got a name right there, obviously, in Broderick Jones, who are going to be the other guys that join. The other one to think about, and I probably should have mentioned him about 19 seconds ago, was Tate Ratledge out of Rome. Tate Ratledge is another guy for the Bulldogs. It was very interesting how he's got Tennessee family connections, and it was always maybe Georgia and Alabama for the longest time. But now Alabama has lost Brent Key. Brent Key is now the offensive line recruiter and associate head coach for Georgia Tech on the flats. And I think Georgia has really took advantage of that situation. Tate Ratledge is definitely a name to know for the class as well.
All right, I've kept you long, and I apologize. Let me squeeze in one final question on just a totally different subject, but I am kind of curious to get your thoughts on this. Are you in any way interested in seeing Aaron Murray versus Ettenberger this weekend in that AAF game? Ettenberger's the Memphis quarterback. Murray now is going to start for Atlanta. Should have been starting the entire time. They're going to go up this weekend. Jeff, just the thought of those two head-to-head brings back really a lot of interesting and good memories for me. The good memory of the 2013 Georgia-LSU game, which was so much fun. One of the great atmospheres in Sanford Stadium history when Murray out-dueled Ettenberger that day. It also, you know, brings to mind the interesting point of, I have to admit, you know, and this is the wrong opinion now, but at the time when Ettenberger was on the Georgia roster and he and Murray were battling for that quarterback job, I do have to admit, Jeff, if you go back then, I was on Team Zach. I kind of wanted Ettenberger to be the quarterback of the future for Georgia before he got into the off-field stuff and everything like that, but I love the way that Ettenberger threw the ball. I remember the big throw he had, I believe it was to Rontavious Wooten on G-Day those years ago, and that was enough for me to be sold. It's kind of a walk back memory lane with Ettenberger and Murray this weekend. Is that on your radar at all?
Well, first of all, that is, to me, is shocking news, Brandon. You know, if I had to put together your ink blot test about recruiting profiles and the guys you go after, now this is all wanting to make sense. You want the guy that's the innovative, the ceiling pusher at the position, the guy with the big arm, the guy with the big size. You're one of those guys that probably would have drafted Ryan Leaf really high.
I probably would have.
You like that bigger, newer thing, right?
I probably would have. I did like that big arm on Ettenberger. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, it worked out great because Aaron Murray's an all-time great quarterback, but at the time, I was pro Ettenberger, I have to admit.
Well, here's what the AAF needs to do. When you mentioned that matchup, to me, that screams if it's raining outside and I can't go hit golf balls, then yeah, I want to watch Ettenberger versus Murray. I think the AAF needs to be a television sport first before it becomes a spectator sport. Maybe that's the long-term health of that league. But to me, although that's great, and it's a nice little check-down Georgia quarterback room history story, which was portal guys before the portal was cool, I'd like to see the matchup. Now, one of those that might move the dial for me would be if Tebow was in this league and it was Murray versus Tebow, and you had a team with maybe more Georgia guys on it than just Damian Swan and Aaron Murray versus a team of a lot of Gators. I think that one would be more interesting for me rather than purely a Ettenberger-Aaron Murray duel.
Fair enough, but don't forget to give credit to our buddy Cameron Nislek, who's really been booming it for the Atlanta team as punter. I've loved seeing Cam have so much success there.
You know, it's great, but Cam's so good, and he's a good dude, and he's so good at what he does, but it kind of reverses your thought process because you're supposed to be a little bit miffed when the Atlanta team or the in-state team punts. But then he's so good at what he does, it's almost fun watching Cam get hang time in his own way.
That is a really good point. Jeff, thanks for spending some extra time with us here on this Friday. Really fun conversation. We know you got some great stuff coming up in the days ahead at DogNation.com. And for the people who are curious what we were saying off the top of the program, Tuesday for our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, we'll show some of the fun we had at Marlowe's this past week, including me with a blowtorch in my hand. That'll be fun on Tuesday.
Brandon, true confession here, true serum question. Have you worn the white Marlowe's Tavern chef's coat around your home in sort of an authority pose around the Adams family?
Absolutely. I told my kids they had to call me Chef Daddy from now on. They were very confused about that.
Guilty of that as well. That was a very fun time, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, good stuff, fun stuff from Jeff Sintel. Love having that conversation every Friday. And, yeah, I got to say, I'm looking forward to Murray versus Mettenberger. I have not been the biggest AAF fan up to this point in time. But now that Murray's playing a little bit more, there's a good chance I'll probably watch a lot more of those games. Really excited to see that. And I was also mentioning, by the way, speaking of quarterbacks, also coming out in about 5 minutes from right now, we'll say hello to another great former Georgia quarterback, David Green, joining us for the first time in a long time here on Dog Nation Daily. And we'll talk about the tailgate apparel when he joins us. Don't forget, I got the tailgate apparel sweatshirt on right now. You can go to the Dog Nation Instagram feed, and you can see the post right there in the Dog Nation bio as well with the link to the sweatshirt that I'm wearing. If you need one for yourself or a gift coming up in the very near future, tailgate apparel is going to take good care of you on that. Speaking of my kids also, I was talking about them with Jeff a good bit. One of the things that's really funny about my family is we love real milk from Georgia dairy cows. We go through gallons of this stuff every single week. I put it in my coffee. My kids just drink it, you know, with every meal. They drink it in snacks. We're just huge, huge fans of real milk from Georgia dairy cows. And there's an event coming up at Kroger that's made for us, but I think it's going to be really fun for you and your family as well. It's coming up at the Alpharetta Kroger on State Bridge Road. The date to remember on this Saturday, March 6th. It's next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Georgia Mobile Dairy Classroom, and by the way, if you're watching a video, you can see an example of this, is going to be there. Dairy cows, you can pet them, you can interact with them, get your picture taken, whatever. But also, it's important to remember when it comes to real milk from Georgia dairy cows, not only can you drink that, it tastes great, but a lot of the great food that we love is actually made using this real milk. And there are going to be a lot of Georgia chefs on hand cooking a lot of these recipes, including, how about this, peach stuffed French toast. Got to have milk for that. Creamy Parmesan pancetta pasta, same way. And listen, milkshakes as well. And as much as I love milk, I really love milkshakes too. It's all from real milk made from Georgia dairy cows. Tastes so good. Go to this website, milkonmymind.com. It's milkonmymind.com for more information with the big event at the Alpharetta Kroger on State Bridge Road next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, before we get David Green coming up here in just a moment, let me hit a couple of SEC stories, and I'm going to be a little unfair to LSU here for a moment, because honestly, when we talk about Georgia this offseason, there's also a lot of talk from a lot of fans about changes to the offense. But I saw where Ed Orgeron, as the Tigers get ready to begin their spring practice, was once again also talking about changes to the offense. And from Orgeron's perspective, this is because Joe Brady, who's been with the New Orleans Saints as a employee, kind of one of those analyst type things the last couple of years, comes over and now is going to help generate the LSU pass game this year. But how many years in a row is this of LSU talking about new offense, whether it be Steve Ensminger being added as offensive coordinator a year ago, Matt Canada being added as offensive coordinator the year before that, all the promises of Cam Cameron's era the year before that? This seems like the conversation we have around the SEC every single spring, LSU looking to change up its offense and find more passing game. I do think this year, though, there's a chance that Orgeron's words aren't necessarily going to ring quite as hollow. Let's face it, Joe Burrow is coming back for an additional year. I think that experience for him matters. I think LSU's got a crop of really impressive veteran wide receivers and a couple really good-looking freshman running backs. I actually think this year on offense, LSU might not be that bad. And Joe Brady coming over to help work the passing game, maybe he's going to be a part of that too. This is something LSU's spoken about a lot in recent years, but in this particular instance, Orgeron might not be wrong. I also saw on Twitter from five-star wide receiver Rakeem Jarrett's Twitter feed but he's apparently planning on visiting Tennessee this weekend. That in and of itself is not that big of a deal. These prospects are taking all kinds of visits this time of year. We follow the visits, but not every visit means a whole lot. This doesn't mean that Jarrett's going to Tennessee, but it does bring to mind for me T. Martin. And I've said this before. When you really look at the changes that were made to the Tennessee coaching staff over this offseason, as big of a deal as Derek Ansley is moving to defensive coordinator, and that's going to impact Tennessee recruiting, the issue with T. Martin and his ability to go out and find elite offensive recruits, how successful Jeremy Pruitt's going to end up eventually being, I think the T. Martin recruitment, one way or another, for the good or for the bad, is going to determine how successful it ends up being. You probably saw where LSU basketball coach Will Wade is in a ton of trouble. He's allegedly been caught on, I guess, tape, offering to pay a player to come to LSU. One way or another, that's probably not going to end up being that good. And to follow up on a story from the other day, it is now official. Florida and Miami are moving up their season opener a week. They'll begin well early to start the 2019 season. Let's talk to David Green right now. And back here on Dog Nation Daily, it's always fun to get a chance to say hello to the great former Georgia quarterback David Green, a good friend of our program here, and it's good to have him back on the program. And in just a couple of minutes, I'll remind you how you can get a link to the sweatshirt that I'm wearing today, courtesy of our friends at Tailgate Apparel. But first, David, welcome back to the program. I hope you've been doing well over the course of this long, cold off season.
Well, Brandon, it's good to be back, man. It's been a while since we've talked. I know it was, I guess, right for the last bowl game.
Yeah.
And good to catch up and glad, you know, heck, it's football already here for spring ball again, ready to get geared back up.
Yeah, I can't wait to be in Athens for G-Day and the start of spring practice here pretty soon. I'm ready for that. And it's been kind of fun kind of watching what's been going on with the program over the last couple of weeks, too. And you probably saw, you know, Georgia got a quarterback commitment, Carson Beck, really good-looking prospect, a guy that looks a lot like Jake Fromm. But in thinking about that, is it hard for you to believe that we're already now talking about the possible replacement for Jake Fromm? I mean, it seemed like we just, you know, blink your eyes, and Fromm was himself a senior in high school down there in Warner Robins, and now he's going into his third year. Who knows what happens after this? Maybe moves on the NFL draft. Isn't it funny how quick time passes when it comes to these college eligibilities, yours and a lot of these other Georgia guys who've come after you as well?
It's amazing, Brandon, how fast things change. Yeah, it used to be, I mean, heck, even when I was playing this 15 years ago, you know, guys would come in, they typically redshirt a year and kind of get the, you know, get you know, familiar with the offense and the whole deal and the speed of the game. I mean, now guys are coming in, they're ready to play, they're ready to make a difference, and you just, amazing how fast things are changing. Justin Fields comes in, then he's back out, and chances that he's going to be starting at Ohio State. It's such a fast pace. The game's changed dramatically. You know, Georgia fans, we got to pinch ourselves. I mean, it's pretty amazing what Fromm has been able to do since he's been our quarterback. I mean, taking us to the national championship as a true freshman, and just really the way he's handled himself and represented himself in the school at the quarterback position. Well, we've been pretty fortunate because he's been a consistent player for us.
You mentioned back in the year 2000, Jim Donnan's last year, when you were at Georgia, you were a true freshman, you sat as a redshirt. That was common back then, as you pointed out. That's not quite as common today, but I'm guessing you think there's still some value in what you learn by watching. And for a guy like Beck, who presumably will watch Jake Fromm for a year and then maybe have a chance to compete with a guy like Dwan Mathis and others for the starting job after that, I'm guessing you would say there's still some value in what you can learn from standing on the sidelines for a year. People obviously want to play, and you love competitors that want to be on the field, but sometimes there's something to be gained by not quite jumping on the field quite so soon, right?
Yeah, and I'll say from the quarterback position, it's not really as much physical as it is mental. I mean, it's processing where you got to get to and where you're going to distribute the ball in a very short period of time. And look, I could tell last year just sitting in the stands, I mean, there's no question Fields, from a talent standpoint, is off the chart. But I could sit in the stands and realize that the game was still coming a little fast for him. I mean, he was having a hard time processing things. And if the, you know, number one receiver wasn't open, it was a little bit more of a challenge to get to two and three in a short period of time. And so it's really those, it's the mental gymnastics of just going through it. It just takes a lot of reps and a lot of time to go through it. It's pretty amazing when you see some of these young guys that can come in and make an impact on their team. Because I know guys physically are capable of doing, but it's really impressive when I see a guy mentally be able to make those steps in those jumps as quick as they do.
So kind of on a similar vein, when you look at Jake Fromm, who is going into his third year, he'll be entrenched as the junior starter for Georgia. When you went from year one to year two to year three, how much easier did the game get? How much more comfortable did you get, not just with what Coach Richt and the offense was looking for you to do, but just, you know, comfort with SEC defenses, being on the field? Did it get easier? Did the game slow down as you moved into year three and year four as the Georgia starter?
There's no question. I mean, the first year, I get up under center and all I can see is the middle linebacker, you know, because I'm just kind of narrow and your vision is just right there. But as you come up and you play a little bit longer, you can see everything coming. I mean, you can see the corner start to cheat. And if you see the safety cheating over, you're thinking, okay, I think I'm going to have a corner blitz here. You can see that stuff when you get a little bit older, a little bit smarter. You understand defenses a little bit more. And that's so much of it. It's just understanding what defenses are trying to do to you. And the more knowledge you have, you know, the faster you can play. And that's ultimately what you're trying to get to, is you want guys just to be able to react and just play football and just arm them with enough knowledge to where they can go out there and just cut it loose, because you gotta react. These plays are only a couple seconds long.
Sure. At the NFL Scouting Combine last week, Dog Nation caught up with a few of the former Georgia players who are on hand, and those guys like looking back on their time at Georgia and maybe looking at what's next for the Dogs as well. And one of the things that comes up from, you know, Isaac Nada, Terry Godwin, some different folks talked about this, I guess maybe Hardman a little bit too, the new wrinkles, at least in their mind, that James Coley's going to bring as offensive coordinator. Jim Chaney's gone. He's at Tennessee now. It's James Coley who'll be calling the plays for Georgia on the offense. And a lot of those guys seem to think that Coley may bring in some new wrinkles and add some new stuff to the overall play card for Georgia. How much of that do you think is needed, and how much of that would you like to see personally, David?
Well, I'll say this. I think, you know, Chaney did a good job of calling plays for the most part. The one thing that we're fortunate in Georgia, we are loaded with talent everywhere. We got a big offensive line, bigger than it's ever been, more athletic than it's ever been. We got a phenomenal quarterback. We got great running backs and really talented receivers. So there's a lot that there's a lot of different things you can design. And what I would love to see is just an explosive offense. You know, something where it's not, you know, just vanilla type football. I think we're always going to be, and Kirby, you know, has been pretty outspoken about it. He wants to be a smash mouth run, you know, first type team. But there's a lot of different ways you can go about doing that. And when you line up in different sets and do different things, you know, you can catch teams off guard a little bit where they don't know exactly the way, you know, you're going to attack them. And, you know, just trying to keep from being predictable. And we're fortunate. We got a very smart quarterback. We got a lot of really, really talented guys. And an offensive coordinator's job is, you got great talent, how are you going to put them in positions to be successful? So I'm excited. From what I'm hearing, I think he's got a pretty aggressive style to him. And sometimes when you got an aggressive style with really talented players, it can get really fun.
You know, I was thinking about this. We were just talking about the excitement about spring football coming up, and you talked about what James Coley might be on the field and what Jake Fromm might be in year three. Get you looking forward to the start of the season in the fall as well. And for someone like you that enjoys traveling back to Athens and being part of these game day environments, how much more fun does it make it for you knowing that this year, for kind of the first time in a while, Georgia has a really exciting home schedule? It's teams like Notre Dame, which has never been to Athens before for a game, Texas A&M, which hasn't been in a really long time, predating their arrival in the SEC. How much more fun does it make it for you getting excited about the season, knowing that if you look at that season ticket with those home games this year, you've actually got a lot of really interesting games on there? Does it make it more fun for you?
No doubt. You know, last couple years have been, we've had a pretty lean home schedule. And just looking at the team, the excitement, I mean, the talent that's in Athens right now, and what's, you know, possible, I think so many Georgia fans are excited because, you know, just winning an SEC championship, yeah, that's great, but we're at a point now where those kinds of things are expected. And, you know, we want to win a national championship. We want to be in the playoffs. We got a coach that's hungry, that's doing all the right things. And there's a lot of things that got to fall into place for that to happen. But the excitement in the fall on Saturday in Athens is always off the charts. But knowing you got teams like Notre Dame coming to town, you know, some some interesting rivalries. It's going to make this fall a lot of fun.
All right, David, before we let you go, I know you're as big a fan of tailgate apparel in downtown Athens as I am, and every time I wear one of these tailgate apparel sweatshirts, people are always saying, B.A., where did you get that? And so I wanted you to spend a minute, if you don't mind, kind of reminding folks that, listen, not only these things look good, but they also are very comfortable as well. On these cold, you know, windy days we've had as of late, how much fun have you had throwing on one of these tailgate apparel sweatshirts to kind of keep you warm and toasty? It's the right thing to do this time of year, is it not?
There's no doubt about it, Brent. I'm probably going to have to run by the store and buy me some more here shortly, because as cold as it's been and as wet and rainy as it's been for the last couple months, I think I've just about worn mine out already. But, no, it's great apparel. I tell you what's been fun is I've worked with them since the beginning, since they came to Athens, and it's fun, especially this last fall, just seeing how many people now, when I go to Athens, go to games, are actually wearing their shirts and sweatshirts and that kind of deal. They got some really good stuff. And I mean, every time I walk in there, my wife kind of takes my wallet from me, because it could be pretty dangerous. It could be a dangerous place.
I want to try to make it easy for the people who are watching right now, because I do get a lot of people in our comment section that ask me about the sweatshirt that I'm wearing. If you go to the Dog Nation page on Instagram, that's just @DogNation on Instagram. If you find the Dog Nation Instagram page, we've got a link to Tailgate Apparel where you can actually get the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now. And this is not only a great personal item, but it's also a really fun gift as well. So please check out Dog Nation on Instagram. You can find the link to the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now. And of course, that's always a lot of fun to have this time of year. David, it's also always a lot of great fun to have a conversation with you. We appreciate you being a part of it with us today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to catching up with you again soon. And thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it, Brandon, man. You have a good one.
Really fun stuff to be able to have David Green here on Dog Nation Daily. I always love getting his thoughts on the upcoming season, what he sees from the Georgia quarterbacks, Jake Fromm included. And, boy, can't wait for spring practice, as he said. Can't wait to be with all of you there in Athens for G-Day. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll check out Tailgate Apparel when you are there, but I hope you'll check us out as well. We'll be out and about, and can't wait to talk to you a lot more about spring practice as we get closer to that. Let me also say, it's good news to be able to say this on a Friday, 860. That's what we're up to on our Gator Hater Updater. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll keep doing this every single day between now and the time they play again. And then after that, we'll do it again for a whole other year after that. It's fun to have the Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. Huge thanks to Jeff Sintel today as well. Really good recruiting information for him. Hope all of you are getting ready to enjoy a great weekend. We appreciate you making this a fun week on Dog Nation Daily. And we'll see you right back here on Monday. Talk to you then, everybody.